The scripture that we just read from the 15th chapter of John describes a vineyard. Now I know some of you, how many of you have planted anything this year or getting ground ready or going to be planting? How many of you are going to plant anything at all, whether it be a tomato plant in a pot or a big garden? How many of you are doing it? See a few, yes, yeah. A lot of us are planting things. Today, in today's world, we lose the association very easily of what we buy in the grocery store and where it comes from. In today's world, it's easy for people to forget. Not so much in this part of the country. Most of us have grown up around, those of you who are from here have grown up around agriculture and farmers markets and had your own gardens and worked in the fields. But in today's world, this is a little harder concept for people to understand. Many people think that the fruits and vegetables and meats and cans of things that we buy in the store come from a factory. Or they simply don't think about it at all. But Jesus was speaking to a group of people who knew that if they did not grow, if they did not harvest, whether from the sea or the ground, that they would die. They would not have anything to eat. There was an immediate and complete understanding of this sustenance that comes from the earth, from the land and the water. That comes from the earth. And Jesus was using this to tie in this relationship of what we eat and the earth that we return to eventually to the Creator and how we're tied into the Creator through the blood of Jesus Christ. The scripture starts off with I am. And don't you know when Moses saw the burning bush and he asked who it was, God replied, I am. There's a number of times that Jesus uses the term I am. This is the last one in the gospel that does refer to Jesus' words saying, I am. And he says it twice in this scripture I read this morning. I am the true vine. I am. And he draws this connection not only to the vine, but to God. This connectivity is very, very important. Jesus talks about he says, and my Father is the gardener. Now the next one in verse 2, if you're looking at your Bible, in chapter 15 of John, verse 2, it says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. That is the predominant translation of that term. That is what you will read in the King James Version, in the NIV version, and most of the versions of the Bible, it says he cuts off. But in reading about this and studying this scripture and understanding, trying to come to an understanding, and I left my note on it, I didn't bring it with me, my note on the Greek words that are used, so I won't attempt to say the word. But the word, if you look up the definition of that word, in fact, it does have within the definition, cuts off and remove. But I want to tell you, it is the fourth understanding of that definition, not the first understanding of that definition. The first understanding of that definition, and something that makes a lot more sense when you read this entire scripture, is that God doesn't start off cutting off. What it says is lifts up, that brings to light, brings to air is the first definition of this. And in fact, when we go, if we move on down to the end, it says, while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes. Now, the translation of the Greek word that he prunes, clearly the first definition is he cuts off. But the first definition of he cuts off, the Greek words used, the first definition of it, he lifts up. And doesn't this make sense? Any of you who have visited a vineyard, and I know Bob raises grapes, some of the other of you raise grapes. The first thing you do when you have a grapevine is you suspend the grapes so they're not laying on the ground. You lift them up in an arbor. You trim it in such a way that it grows so that it's not hanging on the ground where it will die. But it lifted up where it gets air and it gets sunlight and it's separated from the other fruit so that it will grow and produce. So the first thing God does to you is not cutting you off. The first thing God does to you is he lifts you up so that you can prosper, so that you can bear fruit, so that you can grow. The first thing you face is not judgment. The first thing you face is reinforcement, is encouragement, is lifting you up. Now, even the pruning that it talks about at the end of the same verse is not judgment. It is more to be understood that in this scripture that God's hand is at work in your life, in your walk with him. You're part of the vine. You're abiding in Christ. You're not alone. You're not doing it on your own. You're not sent out there to do good works and then to be judged on the good works that you do. God is not using you. God is living through you, through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Abiding in Christ is not following the law, is not being good, is not doing right. Abiding in Christ is living your life in the will of Christ, but also living your life in the Holy Spirit of Christ. Living your life in the Spirit. It's living your life, seeing the world through the eyes of Christ, not on your own. So first, in the first thing, God lifts you up. He gives you light. He gives you room to grow. He gives you an opportunity. But as we all know that we don't always make all the right choices and we make some mistakes and God prunes. He doesn't judge us and kill us for because we made a mistake. He blocks our way. He puts up a door. He closes the road. He makes you turn around. He eliminates an opportunity while he opens up another door. God prunes our lives. He banishes those things that we do that are not in his favor. He stops those activities. For those who are trying to walk in his will, he stops us from doing things that are against his will. Because it says, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So God will, even when you do bear fruit, you will be pruned so that you will be more fruitful. So pruning is not the same thing as cutting off. Pruning is not the same thing as lifting up. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Christ is not asking you to try to obey every rule and everything that he's done. He's asking you to abide in him, to live your life through him. And this is not your life on Sunday. This is not your life when you decide to go out and do something nice for your neighbor. This is your life when your child or your spouse or your neighbor says something to you that raises your anger, that you didn't expect them to say, that you think's unfair, that you just don't believe they should have said, this is the God who's living through you at that moment. And he's calling you to abide in him, to live through him, to give up yourself. You can't be part of the vine and live independently of Christ. You can't be part of the vine and share in the blessings unless you share in the guidance and the correction which brings joy. Jesus goes on again in verse 5 to say, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. If we go back and look at, I think I have it marked here. In the book of Ephesians, in chapter 2, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. So let me read that again. You were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of air. The Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So Jesus is saying that we used to, before we accepted him as our Lord and Savior, before we became part of the vine, we weren't on our own. If we're not abiding in Christ, we're not on our own. We are within the will of the evil one. He says here, the ruler of the kingdom of air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. And here's the good news. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Jesus Christ. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourself, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It's the same idea. The only thing that's a little different there that it shows us is if we're not abiding in Christ, that we are abiding in Satan. Jesus Christ is the vine and we are the branches. In other scripture it tells that the non-Jews are the branches that were grafted onto the vine. Because the vine was originally for the Jews. But it says that the Gentiles were grafted onto the vine. That was the words of Jesus. Jesus is saying in this scripture an awful lot. He's saying, first of all, that if you are part of the vine, if you accept him as Lord and Savior, you are part of the family of Christ. But you are not only part of the family of Christ, you are part of the body of Christ. You are not an independent part. You are a living extension of the vine. And Jesus Christ can live through you. But he does give us some more information. He says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken for you. And down in verse 7 it says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. Very interesting words he used here. If you remain in me and my words remain in you. So we must have his word in our lives. We have to be familiar with his word. We have to spend time reading his word. And it's through those words of Christ that are in the Bible, through reading his word, spending time dwelling and praying upon his word, asking for the Holy Spirit to guide you through his word, asking the Holy Spirit to share with you what he would have you do and think and understand, that you are part of the living vine, the life of Christ. And through that, you can see Christ, see the world, see your brothers and sisters, see your families, see those who hate you, those who give you grief, those who agitate you. You can see them through the eyes of Christ because you are part of the body. You are part of the vine. And you can abide in him. So we're not given a task to go out and do good works. We're not given a task to go out and be nice and be just the light and the salt in the community on our own. We are to extend the vine to others. We are to draw others into the vine. We are to extend this through sharing the word of God, through dwelling on his word as we read it, as we allow it to inform our lives. And he will lift you up. And he will prune you when you need pruning. And he will guide you in everything that you do. Because you are loved by our Savior, Jesus Christ. And he knows you personally because you are part of his vine. You are part of his life. And he is part of your life. Amen.